In the name of Jesus, amen. St. John is adamant about the risen Christ, isn't he? He writes today in his epistle, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, we proclaim also to you." He quickly revisits the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, was present at creation, that he lived among the disciples, that the risen Christ, raised from the death of crucifixion, was among them again, giving the gift of peace and establishing his church through them. But then there's St. Thomas, the only disciple with an insulting name, Doubting Thomas. Nobody ever talks about denying Peter or betraying Judas or even crass Bartholomew, but we're always ready to impugn Thomas for his unbelief, his doubt. Probably because it's easier to shame him with a label than to face the fact that you'd act the same way in his place. You'd demand the same evidence of Jesus' resurrection if you were there. Thomas is determined, isn't he? Insistent, stubborn, pig-headed. The disciples have a joyful report. "We have seen the Lord." Unbelievable for Thomas. "Unless I see in his hand the mark of the nail and place my finger into the mark of the nail and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Visible, tangible proof. Seeing is believing, right? Thomas needs certainty before he'll move any closer to believing the disciples' words. You know, we ought to thank God for Thomas's doubt. But why? What was his deal? He wanted something real, something to sink his teeth into, or rather in his case, something he can sink his finger into, like the hole left by crucifixion's nail. He had seen the blood drip from Jesus' dying body. He had seen the spear plunged into his side. He had seen the scarlet-stained wood. He had seen the stone roll closed with a final heavy thud at the tomb. He had seen it all. And for Thomas, seeing is believing. Except when it isn't. The writer to the Hebrews reminds you that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is believing the exact opposite of what you see, because that is how God reveals himself to you. Our holy and righteous Lord always wears a disguise. He always hides his majestic glory behind a mask. Isaiah said that Jesus looked like any other man who lives and dies. But faith says Jesus is God, Jesus is Savior. And so you go through life struggling with coworkers or fellow students, with broken irrigation lines and rude phone calls. You grind through each day, some of them painful and sweaty. Yet faith says, "My work is holy, my work is righteous, because the Lord God uses me to care for others in need." Yet, you get sick, injured, your heart is broken. You wonder just how much you can take. You wonder just how much longer you can go on. But faith says, I am blessed as a child of God. I am perfect in His sight. I will live forever with Christ. So believing is not seeing. Believing is confessing that God our Father is where He seems to not be. Confessing that God our Father is good, even when He seems to be bad. Confessing that what is truly real is your Lord and your God hiding behind the exact opposite of what you see. That is faith. And that is why faith is a gift from God. Because you can't do it yourself. What is it that you declare that you know is real? The nearly empty bank account? The children that just don't listen? The spouse that just doesn't care? The job you can't enjoy? The friends who betray you? The conscience that won't be quiet? The disease that gets worse and makes you weaker every day? An open grave in the cemetery. Those are all the things that you know are real. The things that prove that God has abandoned you, that God doesn't love you, that God is holding out on you. Repent of those sins. Repent of expecting Almighty God to conform to your standards. Repent of always wanting proof that God is on your side. Confess your own blindness, your own self-interest, your woe is me attitude. Repent and pray to God for the gift of true sight, for the gift of faith, which sees that which is unseen, which sees the love of God in Christ Jesus poured out on His cross and raised up from the tomb for you. That's why we should thank God for Thomas, doubting Thomas. Because Thomas was as you are. Christ Jesus doesn't berate him for his doubt. Ever think of that? He holds out his scarred hand. He bares his pierced side for Thomas to see. Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand. Put it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And so Thomas touched with his hands the words of the gospel written in Jesus' flesh. And he believes. And he sees with the eyes of faith who Jesus really is, my Lord and my God. And this is how it is with your Lord and God. He doesn't abandon Thomas in the darkness of his doubt. He pulls him near with those nail-scarred hands, just like he does to you. Your Lord and your God, Jesus, gathers up your doubts and your fears and your shame and your bitterness and your pain and your suffering, and He makes them His own. And in exchange, He gives you His faith and His hope and His glory and His joy, and He makes them yours. No, He doesn't take away your outward troubles in this life. He gives you something greater instead. The inner peace that only He can give. So you may be left with pain and dysfunction and disease, but He doesn't leave you without peace. Because that is what he's all about. That is who he is. He is the one who gives you the peace that passes all understanding. The kind of peace that knows no matter how unfaithful you have been, God your Father will never be unfaithful to you. The kind of peace that knows that no matter how great your sin, Christ's love is always greater. The kind of peace that knows that no matter how bad this world gets, and boy, is it ever getting bad, any suffering here is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in the life of the world to come. But even trusting in all of these things given to you by your Lord, you still want to see the risen Jesus, don't you? You still want to know that Jesus is near. You still want to touch him and feel his presence. So today, like he did with his disciples, Jesus comes and he stands among you. He comes and he says, "Peace be with you." He stands here and he reaches out his nail-scarred hands and he says to you, "Take and eat. Take and drink. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Open your eyes of faith and see the Lord here. Open your ears of faith and hear his words of love to you. Open your mouth and feel him touch your tongue with the greatest gift he gives, his body, his blood, given and shed for you, his forgiveness and his life and his eternal salvation, all given for you, that you may trust, that you may believe that he is risen for you, and that you too shall rise in him to sit at his table in eternity, forever at peace, at the feast of victory for our God. Amen.